This is part two, and we're going to look at the first reading and partially at the psalm. It's more difficult to see how these texts relate. Usually the first reading prepares us for the gospel. The first reading today is this experience of Elijah in the cave and the storm, and then finally the quiet, and Adonai is in the quiet. The gospel is the storm at sea, and Peter walking on the water, and then the revelation. I think the theme that the editors are trying to get at is quiet, not inertia, quiet. And so we'll try to see how that works. The point being, in a way, God's people should hear this year, this week, you see, an invitation to be quiet, which means to be peaceful. Everybody's running around, worrying about the economy, worrying about the mortgage, worrying about the... How do they get quiet? Word of the Lord. Both times. Here, when Adonai speaks, the Lord himself speaks, and then when Jesus himself. And he pulls Peter out of the water and says, how come you doubted? You were doing fine. Okay. So we begin now with this first text, okay? He came to the cave and he spent the night there. This is Elijah. Eliyahu. See? Eli, my God, is Yahweh. Adonai, Eliyahu, that's my God. Anybody else is not God. That's why he's the great champion and the father of prophecy. Because of that, and the famous time when he prayed and we had the 400 priests of Baal there and nothing happened and all that. See, and finally, even in part of the text that we have here, we've got this idea, and I'm going to read it because we don't have it. The editors skipped that part to accent the not in the storm and so forth. But we need it. If you're going to be a prophet, and every Christian is in some way, you're going to be an oddball. But everybody thinking the salvation of the world now is in world government, we say, no, it's in Jesus Christ, the living, eternal Son of God who loves us, wants to bring us into union with himself now and forever. Pretty outmoded idea in a way, huh? It seems. And yet, he's alive. He's alive. He's the Son of God. And he works in our lives. And that's what these texts are telling us. So we start then, you see. So he went there into the cave and he spent the night there. And behold, the Dabar, the word of Adonai to him, and it said, and he said to him, literally, what to you here, Eliyahu, Malacha, what are you doing here? And then he answers, you see, and he says, I am full of jealous zeal for Adonai Sabaoth, because the Israelites have abandoned your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to the sword, and I'm the only one left, and they want to kill me. Now that's left out, but it's kind of important, and they're seeking my life. I'm standing up for you, and they all want to kill me. So I got out of there, and I came back to where? Horeb, the source of revelation. I need to get back to the source. You talked to Moses here, and the people were at the bottom of the mountain. I'm back here because revelation has to be renewed. And so I'm here for that. You see? I need revelation. And so then the text goes on, you see? Then he was told, go out and stand on the mountain before Adonai. See, go out, Vayomer. Go out and take your stand on the mountain before Adonai and behold, Adonai is there, you see. We'll be passing by. Or, you see, over a ruach, over. And then, and a great wind was rending the mountains, you see, and crushing rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. There's power. Boy, that'll do it. I go back and knock a mountain over. That'll do it. And the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, you see, there was this great trembling of the whole mountain, an earthquake, okay? And the Lord was not in the earthquake. Here's this one man fleeing for his life. If you remember the story, he's on his way to Horeb, Sinai. And he gets, I said, that's enough. I'm going to lie down. I'm going to die right here. That's enough. I can't take it. They want to kill me anyway. If they catch me, they will. I've been sick enough. I quit. And he lies down. I'm going to die right here. And the angel comes and gives him food. And he says, okay, I'll go on. And he walks 40 days till he gets to the mountain. But you see, so now, what are you doing here? You know, Malacha Eliyahu, what are you doing here? Look, I'm tired. You know, this is like Jeremiah. It's a beautiful text in Jeremiah. You led me on, O Adonai, and I let myself be led. And I, a laughingstock all day long. I have to cry out, Hamas, violence, all day long. So I'm a fool. Everybody hates me. So I resolved, I will not speak in his name anymore, no more. And your word turned like fire in my bones. And I can't resist it. I have to speak it. You see, people think, oh, it'd be fun to be a prophet. Everybody God called, except Isaiah, said, not me. Moses, I can't talk. I'll give you Aaron. I still don't want to go. Jeremiah, look, I'm just a boy. Don't say you're a boy. Go to the people I send you to. So, it sounds dramatic to be a prophet, but it's not. If you want to win the unpopularity poll, that's the way to do it. And so, he's saying this, you see. The Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. After the earthquake, there was fire. Now that's fire. That's revelation. You remember at Sinai? There were clouds and fire and thunder and lightning. All the things that are not here now. You see? Why? Adonai is saying to Elijah, I'm not giving you a second law. I'm going to help you stick by the one I gave you until Jeremiah comes along and prophesies a new law. And then, after all of that, you see, there was a light murmuring sound, a tiny whispering sound. And when he heard this, Eliyahu hid his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance to the cave. You see? And then, again, the voice came to him which said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And now he gets his vocation. Now he's received his call. Because remember, at the Transfiguration, the law and the prophets were there with Jesus, right? Moses and Elijah, the two great pillars of what Paul is going to talk about in Romans, huh? Those were the prophets, those were the words, those were the, to them belong all this privilege, you see? So now we have this text. Might be helpful just to read a tiny bit more of the text. I guess because I've studied scripture all my life. I always figure, all these texts are too short. There ought to be more to them so that people could hear the whole thing. And I suppose the solution is, well, they ought to go home and read it. What are you doing here? He said, I've been most zealous for the Lord of hosts. And so, he repeats what he said before. You see, they've forsaken your covenant. They've torn down your altars. They've broken your covenant. And they've put your prophets to the sword. I alone am left. And they seek to take my life. Now you expect God to say, oh, you poor guy. I feel so sorry for you. He says, go. Take the road to Damascus, to the desert near Damascus. When you arrive, and he gives him a task. Now, why does he do that? Because, you see, he can trust his friends. It's the same with Jeremiah. Jeremiah, I quoted that long text from 15. There's another one. There's a lot of, I quit. This is too much. You know, and what does God say back? Jeremiah, if you can't, you know, run with men, how are you going to run with horses? If you're afraid up here, what are you going to be like with the lions in the Jordan Valley? What is he saying? Two things. Look, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. Don't be afraid. But things are going to get tougher. That's why they turned down the job. We should be so grateful for anybody who accepts any dimension of a truly prophetic vocation. John Paul II. Everybody loves him. Not everybody. There was a strong animus against him when he was alive. He suffered a lot from opposition. And I'll bet he said these same things to God. Look, I quit. I'm old now. I'm getting fat. I'm sick. Why don't you just take me? You know, the Lord said, no, not yet. You got work to do, John Paul. And what's the meaning for us? Because, you know, we're not going to be Pope. It's don't quit. And, as the old proverb has it, if there's bumps on the road, it doesn't mean you've taken the wrong turn. You know? Just go to God and say, I quit. You can say that. You know? A woman I know is very profound prophet, alive today. Came through a terrible Lent. She's an American, so she talks like one. And I met her just after Lent, just after a day or so after Easter. And I said, how are you doing? She said to me after this terrible suffering in Lent, you know, if this keeps up, I'm going to quit. She's never going to quit. But the point is that the revelation is not Cecil B. DeMille. It's Holy Spirit. And so we have to be sensitive. And in our own life, don't quit. You fathers and mothers, you have a prophetic role to your children. Don't quit. Learn, pray for wisdom, love, forgiveness. Preach the truth in your house. But get wisdom from the Lord to do it in a way that won't drive the kids out. Try to get from the Holy Spirit an understanding of what they face and enter into that as you guide them along the way to life. And let there be times when it's a quiet voice talking to them. Amen.